Always a joy to be with you. Small but mighty congregation. It reminds me that God has specific purpose for each church. And this is exciting because being a spectator, I can watch what you're doing. And I get, I'm impressed. A lot of songs and verses today had a lot to do with love. And that's the topic. They say God is love. And indeed he is. But love is so often misunderstood. More often than not, it's tied with emotion. However, God's love is not emotional. His deep, deep compassion and concern for us and for our well-being is documented hundreds of times in the Bible, but it is a choice that he makes. We just read John 3:16. It's probably one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, of course. And for God so loved the world. He wasn't saying that God approved of our behavior, or was he pleased with man's response to him. God chose to love us and save us from ourselves. Paul's letter to the Ephesians calls for us to be, as dearly loved children, imitators of God. His letter to the Corinthians expands on that statement. And if you'll indulge me, I want to read you chapter 13. Because it explains a lot about what we're trying to get across this morning. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and I have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we know prophecy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish things behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Another way of looking at it is we talk a lot about we've talked a lot about the grace of God and being a tremendous force in the universe. Grace of God can change a person's heart. Grace of God is powered, however, by love. So, God's grace is like like a high-powered car. But that car needs gasoline. And that gasoline is love. It's not emotional, but a deliberate decision. God chooses to love us, and by his grace we are saved. God is love. That's kicked around a lot, isn't it? Oh, God is love. It sounds great, doesn't it? But love is power. Love drives God's decision-making, and grace is an outshoot of that. We are to love one another. Loving one another is not a warm and fuzzy. It's not hugs and kisses. But loving one another is to immerse oneself into the experience of another person. To look at them through God's eyes and see them the way God sees them. Christians talk about this a lot, but it's difficult to do. Jesus was a remarkable example. Think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he was arrested. Oh, Father, there's another way. Take this cup from me. But not my will, but your will be done. Out of love, Christ submitted himself to his Father. Never did anything and never said anything that his Father didn't tell him to do or say. Completely obedient. Out of love, he endured the scourging and the abuses of Pilate. Out of love, he carried the cross through the streets of Jerusalem. Out of love, he submitted himself to the crucifixion, knowing that all it would have taken is a thought. And 10,000 angels would have been there to whisk him away, and he would have suffered nothing. Out of love, he chose to suffer. The Apostle John says, you know, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Think about that for a minute. Jesus told his disciples in the Gospel of John, you know, the world doesn't hate you, they hate me. They hate the message that he brought. He was completely contrarian to the culture of the day. But out of love, he ushered in the kingdom of God. Our relationship with God is predicated on love. And Paul writes, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, as we read before. But Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's hard for us to really comprehend how that works. We are sinful creatures. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have our own agenda. But God has His agenda. It's not that He approves of our behavior. He just understands our behavior. God's love allows Him to stay, on point. His plan has not changed since the beginning of time. God's plan of salvation to offer up His Son was not in any way some emotional decision. Oh, I want to save my children. God understood that man brought sin into the world. God also understood that man could not atone for this sin. We like to think that we atone, we say we're sorry, but that's not sufficient. It is only through the shedding of innocent blood that our sins can be covered. First sacrifice was right there in the garden when Adam and Eve are covering themselves with fig leaves, and God said, who told you you were naked? And God sacrificed an animal and gave him clothing. Another example, one of hundreds, of course, is in Exodus, when the last plague comes down on Egypt. And God said, you sacrifice a lamb, put the blood over the doorpost, and I will pass over, and death will not touch you. God understands our sin. He understands our shortcomings. He understands that most of the time we don't know what we're doing. And so, God gives us hope. In Romans 5:5, Paul writes, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. So regardless of your sins, regardless of all the bad behavior, regardless of all the shortcomings, I love you, and I will provide for you. This, I think, is amazing. Because no one is more undeserving than I am. No one has fallen shorter than I have fallen. No one has countless times turned his back on God and said, I'll do my own thing. Yet God's love prevails. So think of love as the power to change the world. Love is what drives this congregation to support all those folks that are out there doing God's work. It's the love that holds you together. It's the love that gives this little church vitality. and loyalty to one another as God is loyal to us. So love is not emotional. It's a decision. Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me?" He said first, in the Greek, "Do you eros? Do you love me?" That's eros, where we get our word erotic. But are you attracted to me? Do you love me like a man would love a woman? Not in a sexual way, but just in a relationship way. And he says, do you love me? Philos, where we get the word, Philos, Philadelphia, a city of brotherly love. So that brotherly love, that companionship, that camaraderie, that sense of community, do you love me? And finally, and most significantly, he says, do you love me? And this is agape, which is unconditional love. So no matter what you do, no matter what you say, I am going to love you despite yourself. I am going to love you and care for you. This is not going to change because this is what I have planned out since long before I put the earth on its axis. So love is power. And yes, in a very true sense, God is love. But what's most remarkable, and what I leave you with, is through the Holy Spirit indwelling in the hearts of believers, God's love is manifest. It is how we change the world. It's how we change each other. So you take the love of God and you multiply it by billions. A very powerful force. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for being a God of love, a God of mercy, and a God of understanding. We praise you for your magnificent holiness, your absolute perfection. We praise you for your creativity. We praise for your creative ability. We praise you for your unceasing attention to every detail of our lives. It is hard for us to comprehend the love that you show us because our ability to comprehend is so limited. But you, Lord, are not limited. So we put our trust and our faith in you, even though we don't always understand, even though we're kind of lost, even though we're not sure, we have our doubts. But we know that you are there and that you love us. Father, help us to hold this in our hearts. Help us to love one another. Help us to show your love to people that we meet, to people at work, our friends and neighbors. But most of all, Lord, help us reciprocate. Help us to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, strength. help us to extend ourselves to you, to build the relationship that you so freely invite us to take part in. We thank you and praise you in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.